Today is the last Sunday of resolutions. We're wrapping up this series. And I have a question for everybody. It's not a trick question. How many of you are pizza lovers? See, you raise your hand. I can't see if you raise your hand because there's bright lights in my face. How many of that pizza has interfered with your New Year's resolutions, right? It's like, well, I used to like pizza, but I'm not supposed to, but I still do. Well, I want to talk about pizza today because I want to talk about Domino's pizza. That sounds weird. But I've been very, very impressed with Domino's over the past month. Maybe you've seen the ads, the commercials, maybe you've heard about it. But there was a dirty little secret. Their pizza was bad. We knew it. And apparently they knew it. And they decided to change it. They decided to completely revamp their pizza, to redo it, and resell it. And that's not impressive to me. Because companies do that all the time, right? Companies all the time are evaluating what works, what doesn't, revamping things, and all that kind of stuff. So that's not impressive to me. What blows me away, though, is that Domino's decided to announce to the world that they weren't doing a good job. They announced to the world, oh, by the way, we stink, and we're going to do better. I mean, and if you've seen the commercials, clap if you've actually seen these commercials, if you know what I'm talking about. All right? Okay. They're really bad. I mean, they're raw. You know, it's not like they picked out the best complainers. They picked out the people who said things like, your sauce tastes like ketchup. The crust tastes like cardboard. I think one of them says, it's the worst excuse for pizza I've ever had. You know, that's strong stuff. And they put that out there, and they said, you know what? We messed up. This is what you've all said about us, and we're going to change. What they did as a company is they made a public declaration of their desire to change. They made a public resolution because we as consumers are going to hold them accountable for the change. I don't know about you, but every time I've wanted pizza over the past month, I haven't done it yet, but I've thought I should try Domino's. Honestly, because we live here and I'm not positive the change has made it here yet. You know, I don't know if we're one of the top markets where they're making the change yet. I'm trying to give it some time. But, you know, I want to check it out because they've declared, hey, we're going to change, and I want to see if it's going to work. But it got me thinking. We've been doing this whole series about change and can we change and resolutions and it kind of got me thinking about us. You know, we make these New Year's resolutions or the changes we've kind of talked about the past few weeks, more of the inner changes that we don't really share out loud. And we want to make changes. We want to change our life. But very rarely do we do, if ever, what Domino's did. We don't publicly declare, I used to be this way and now I want to change. I want to be this way. And it's obvious why we don't. It's because we're afraid we might not live up to it. We might not actually make the change that we want. So we keep it quiet. We don't share with other people what's going on in our lives. And you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm always thinking about, you know, our relationship with God. And I don't think this is any more true than with our relationship with God. You know, many of you have been attending for a while, or maybe some of you over the past few weeks. You know, the past 3 weeks, we've taught about Jesus and how to begin a relationship with Him, and many, many people have made that step. And I'm sure that there's even others of you who have been coming to Wellspring for a while, and maybe you've begun a relationship with Christ, or maybe you've been a Christ follower for a while. But if I were to ask your friends, if I were to ask your family, if I were to ask your coworkers, They would have no idea. They would have no idea of the change that had occurred in your life. And I'm going to argue today it's because you've never made it public. Because you never made a public resolution of what was going on in your life. So today, as we're wrapping up this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at kind of God's design for going public and for living public this life, because that is His design. And in fact, after today, we're starting a new series next week that you'll see a trailer for it at the end. I don't want to spoil it, but that the entire series is about God's design for how we as Christ followers, those who have decided to follow Christ, are to live our lives out loud, are to live our lives in public. Because see, that's the way God intended this life to be lived. That's the way the journey is designed to be. And I'm gonna get into all this later. Oh, I got so much good stuff. I'm trying not to just spill it all right now. But God has a strategy. God has a plan. There's three steps that I see in Scripture for how those of us who have decided to follow Christ for their lives, who serve Him, who love Him, for three steps that we're supposed to take to make it public, to make known to the world what it is that has happened in our lives. Like Domino's did. Like they were bold enough to make it public that, hey, we're going to change. Well, we as Christ followers are also called to make public that we want to change. So we're going to jump right in. Step one of this process, and if you've ever been around church before, you've probably heard about it. Step one is what's called believer's baptism. And maybe you've heard of that. Maybe you know what that is. I mean, baptism is where, you know, maybe you've seen it in church. They put you up, and the guy in a robe comes out and says something really nice, and he dunks you underwater, and you're always really glad he didn't hold him under a little too long, you know, to make sure they get really good and dunked. But I don't do that, by the way. So if you want me to baptize you, I won't hold you under too long. I promise. Straight down, straight up. But you've probably seen it before, but I want to unpack it for you today. Because I know a lot of people kind of get weirded out by it. They're like, oh, I don't know that baptism thing, man. I don't know. I'm not sure. And I just kind of want to unpack it for you today and explain what it really is. First thing I want to do is I want to read some scripture. Colossians 2:12. It says this. It's talking to those people who are Christ followers and who have been baptized. It says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." Okay, now, obviously, baptism, we don't really bury you anywhere, all right? It's a symbol. That's why we baptize with water, because we believe that's the symbol of going under the water, being baptized, being buried with Christ, because wake up, it symbolizes what's happened in your life. So what I've talked about over the past few weeks, I'm not going to really surface level today. We believe that when we give our lives to Christ, that we're forgiven of our sin, the selfish self that we're born with goes away. Or not goes away, but we actually have the ability to not live that way. We actually are raised to a new life in Christ, which means we're actually free to love and to be patient and to be kind and to be the person in our head we've kind of always pictured that we'd like to be but never knew how. All right, so baptism, the step that we're commanded to do, is a symbol of that. It's just a representation. And if you've been around before, or maybe you've heard this in other churches, sometimes you've heard baptism described like this wedding ring. It's a symbol, all right? I'm married whether or not I have this ring on or not. But this ring symbolizes to the world what's happened in my life. And it's a good symbol, and the wedding ring kind of fits, but I kind of want to take it a step further. I kind of want to unpack it for you a little more and really help you understand what baptism really means. And to me, it's more like a graduation ceremony. All right? How many of you guys either have or have been to a graduation ceremony? Either you walked or you've been to one, right? Everybody has seen those. We now graduate 35 times before we graduate high school. We graduate 3-year-old kindergarten, 4-year-old kindergarten, 5-year-old kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, and high school. Oh, that's a lot of graduations. But for most people, the big two are high school and college, right? You graduate, you know, something's happened, you've made the grades, you've completed it all, and so you get ready to graduate. So what do? You invite your friends, you invite your family, people who are close to you, and they come, and they take pictures, and they cry when you walk across the aisle, and even though they're not supposed to, they clap when you come, and everybody else looks at them, and it's like, whatever, that's my baby, they graduated, I don't care. It's a major milestone in your life to graduate from high school or college. I think we might be in trouble. I'm just kidding. So that milestone happens, and what do? We take pictures of it, all right? We talk about it. We have a party. We go home, we frame those pictures of the person walking across in the robe. And we even take that little piece of paper that they give us when we walk across and shake hands, we take that piece of paper and we frame it. And we frame it. Why do we do all that? To make known to other people what's happened in our life. Right? Because I don't know if you've realized this or not, but nothing really changed. Nothing really happened when you walked across the stage. You shook his hand, but nothing else really changed. They could have just mailed you the diploma. I don't know if you know that. Maybe your parents told you they couldn't. They could have. They could have just mailed it to you. I wish they had mine. The diploma that you frame, you don't even need it. All you really need are the transcripts. All you really need is the proof that it happened. They can check it out and all that kind of stuff. All right, nothing really changed when you graduated from high school or college. And quite honestly, nothing really changed just because I have this ring on or not. And let's go a little further. The wedding ceremony, all the hoopla, all the songs, the dresses, the tuxes, the sitting in chairs, the chants, whatever you do, all that pomp and circumstance didn't really change anything. Legally, all that mattered was that little piece of paper you signed, probably after the service, called the marriage license. That piece of paper is what makes you married. Everything else was just kind of a show. So for that, we come back to baptism. All right, we come back to baptism, and we say, well, Jesus commands, he does in Scripture, everyone who's going to follow him to be baptized. And it's a symbol, so why does it matter? Why does that symbol matter? And it's because symbols are important. It's because symbols do matter. For all the brides out there who want to kill me right now, of course your wedding ceremony mattered. Of course it was special. Of course it was important. You know why? Because it mattered to you. Because it was a symbol. Because it was your way of sharing with the world what had happened in your life. It was a great day. It was your way of publicly declaring a public resolution. This is my new husband. This is my new life. I'm so excited about it, and I'm so glad you were a part of it. Graduation is the same way. No, nothing actually changed when you walked across the aisle, but maybe you were the first person in your family to graduate from college. That meant a great deal to your family. It meant a great deal to you for them to see what had happened. Because that symbol matters, because what it did is it showed to the world, it proclaimed to the world what you thought was important. You think it's important, and you're showing the world what you think is important, and that's why it matters. And that's why Jesus wants us to take part in his ceremony of baptism. That's why he wants us to do it. Because it's another way for us to show the world that something major, terrific, awesome, fantastic, life-changing, unbelievable has happened to us. And that's what baptism is. That's really what it is. It's our first step of just publicly declaring to the world, something's changed. Something's different. My life is different now, and I'm excited about it. And I'm excited for you to know about it. I'm excited to share it with people. Because I was dead, and now I'm not. I was one way, and now I'm different. I'm not changed, but I'm changing. Let me just screechingly halt on the brakes for one second just to make clear. Beginning a relationship with Christ and being baptized doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't mean you'll never sin again. It doesn't mean you'll never struggle with wanting to be selfish and jealous and awful. Because I am jealous and selfish and awful. But like I said last week, I'm not as bad as I was 5 years ago. and hope 5 years from now I'm better. It's a process, and that's what we're going to, that's basically the next step. Step two is to allow God to change your life. So step one is you get baptized, just like, you know, the wedding is a symbol, graduation is a symbol. But how many of you, you know, you graduated college, right? You walked across, you got your diploma. Most people, I'm going to go with 99% of the people, don't wake up then the next day with a job and a house and a career and everything is just all done, right? If you did, I don't like you very much. It's a process. You have to go out and find a job. You have to find a career. You know, the engaged people in the room, or maybe you just got married, you spend so much time and energy planning that wedding and leading up to that point, and you think it's this destination. And this isn't a bad thing. This is just truth. What you come to find out about that wedding is it's not a destination. It's a starting point. You begin a new life together at that point. You begin your new life when you graduate from college. You don't end anything. You start anew. And it's the same with baptism. That's why baptism is step one, because it's not the end. It's not the destination for anything. It's the starting point for us to continue to live our lives. I want to read another verse of Scripture. It's Colossians 3:10. And this is what Paul says. He says, talking to Christ followers who've been baptized, he says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Put on your new nature. That's what I was talking about before, how we actually have the ability to be nice and to be loving. You know, we have to choose that. We have to choose each day to be the person God wants us to be. And the only way we can become the person God wants us to be and the person we want to be is by the second part, is to be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Because as I've said many times, change, we've talked about for the whole series, change is kind of what we think of as the goal of life. But it's really not. It's really not. These changes we want to make really aren't the goal of life. They're really a byproduct. They're a result of a growing relationship with Jesus. They're a result of knowing your Creator and becoming like Him. And again, I feel like I'm repeating myself today for some of the old timers, but just bear with me, because you've heard me say this before. The way you grow your relationship with God is the same way you grow your relationship with every other person in your life. It's by spending time together and by getting to know them. And as you get to know Him, you become more like Him. You know, many of you in the room, even if you're married, you've been married for 30 years, all right? At one point, you dated. All right? And I'm really kind of talking to the ladies here. Ladies, you dated a guy. Maybe you ended up breaking up with him, I don't know. But you dated a guy who did something, really he said something, he had a phrase that was incredibly annoying to you. Maybe something would happen and he would say, "That's dope." And you hated it. Or maybe he would say, "Redonkulous." All right? And he'd say it and you'd get embarrassed if it was in front of other people. And if it was just the two of you, you would say, "Look, you really have got to stop using that phrase. It's redonkulous, all right? Don't use it anymore." And it would irritate you, and you hated it. But every one of you, at some point in the relationship, you're out with just your girlfriends, and something happens, and what happens? That phrase comes out of your mouth. Without even knowing, you go, "That's redonkulous." And it terrified you. You were petrified that you were picking up his tendencies and that you were becoming like him, and you couldn't believe that redonkulous came out. You probably called your mom and cried about it.
I said redonkulous.
Well, see, as we spend time with God, reading his word, praying, getting to know him, we pick up his traits. We pick up his tendencies as well. And here's the best part. He's perfect. Your boyfriend thought he was perfect. He wasn't. God's perfect. So as we pick up his tendencies, what happens is we love more, we forgive more, we get angry less, we're more patient. It's a great process. And even more than the dating, the couples in the room that have been married for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, you guys really get this point. Because you've been married so long now, man, you know each other so well. You know what the raised eyebrow means. You know her five different sighs that she has. You know, well, that pitch indicates that she doesn't want to watch this television show. She's not going to complain about it because she loves me and she's okay and she likes where she is on the couch, but she'd really rather me change the channel and she'd rather I go do the dishes right now. So, football's on. All right, that's what you do, right? But you understand, it's that intimacy, that knowing the littlest details of what happens. And that's what happens as our relationship with God grows. As we spend time with him, it's just supernatural. I was having lunch with a guy this week who was telling me that he was really making a concerted effort this year to spend more time in the Bible. Reading, I know what he's reading. We're kind of reading the same thing. We were talking about it. And he said, you know, man, it's weird. But it's changing me. It just is. You know, I found myself being more patient. I don't lose my temper as much. And then he used this word. He said, it's really supernatural. And it is. It's supernatural. As we spend time with God, he literally softens our heart and changes our heart and molds us and shapes us to be more like him. Loving and patient and kind and forgiving and gracious and friendly and hospitable and charitable. That's the person God changes us into. It's a process of changing. And then what happens as you change and you grow, as these things start to happen in your life, your friends, your family, your coworkers, they start to notice. Maybe not the first day, maybe not the first week, maybe not the first month, but eventually they start to notice. And they say, man, what? What's going on with you? And it almost can be insulting. They're like, you're not near as mean as you used to be. What's going on? A month ago, you'd have cut his head off for what he just said to you. And now you're not. What's going on? And how we respond to that, how we respond to that inquiry from other people is really the key to the whole plan. And it's step three. Step three is to share the source of your change. Share with other people where it's coming from. I want to read you one last passage of Scripture, and this is actually Jesus talking about us, some of us in this room, those who have actually decided to follow Christ for life. This is Jesus talking about us, and this is what he says, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He says this. He says, you are the light of the world. Hear that. We as people who have decided to give our lives to Christ are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. See, as you get to know God, as your relationship with Him grows, as you change, as you become more like Him, which is the byproduct of spending time with him. As you change, people are going to notice, and the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do when people ask the question? And we have two options as presented there. Are we going to be light, which is what we're told we are? Something that people notice, something that guides the way and kind of points to something? Or are we going to hide it? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? Are we going to put it under a basket? Because, you know, yeah, they're my views, but I don't want to impart my views on other people. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to step on their toes. It's mine. And it works for me, but I'm not really comfortable talking about these changes that are going on in my life with other people. And you know, I'm not mocking that. But I just kind of want to help you see another side. Because talking about change in our lives, talking about good things that happen to us in our lives is very common. And we do it all the time. All right? We love to tell people about this new job we got. All right? We love to tell people about this new career venture that we're on. You know, I'm sure many of you in this room, I hope you have, or this isn't going to work, but, you know, have been talked about the life-changing power of Vima. You know? Or maybe the life-changing power of some kind of jewelry or Tupperware or makeup or something that you can sell. I don't know. Or, and hear me, I'm not making fun of that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not the point of that. A girl gets engaged, all right? If a girl gets engaged, most of them don't take the ring off and hide it and don't tell anybody about it. They tell everyone. You can't get them to shut up about the engagement. Side note to the men in the room. Men, if they take the ring off and don't tell anybody, take the ring back. Because it ain't going well. All right? You know? Grandparents. We have any grandparents in the room? You don't have to force grandparents to talk to you about their grandkids. You have to force them to stop talking about their grandkids. They got the pictures out before you even shake their hand. Point is, we love to share exciting things that are happening in our lives. We love to share the good things that are happening to us. And all Jesus is asking us to do is include him in that process. Because he is the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. And he's asking us to share him. To share what's happened. And the thing is, when we do that, when we actually share him, when we share the goodness that's happened from him, we're sharing hope. We're sharing light. We're sharing truth. So as we embrace this idea that we're to be a public resolution, a public declaration of something's happened in our life and we want to change, as we embrace it, as we wrap our brains around this process of beginning a relationship with Christ, participating in the symbol that he set forth of being baptized, and then we begin the journey of growing a life with him and just spending time with him, and he becomes more like us, and we become more like him, we transform, we change, and then we get to share with other people what's happened. And I want you to hear this. If you hear nothing else, I want you to hear this. Here's the best part. This is the part that blows me away. This is the part that blows me away, because us, all of us, you, me, all of us who follow Christ, as we live this life, as we walk this road, as we follow this plan designed by God, hear me. We get to be living, breathing proof of the existence of God in ourselves. We prove that God is real. I mean, how amazing is that? How mind-blowing is that? People get to see the things God does in and through us, and when they ask us about it, we point to him. They can't argue with that. They saw the change. It's proof that something's going on in your life, and then you get to tell them, oh, by the way, it's this great thing that's changed my life. I began a relationship with Jesus. It's amazing. The change is the proof. You are the proof. I'm the proof. We declare on a daily basis, God is real. And not only is he real, but he is patient and he is loving and he is forgiving because he wants to spend time with a failure like me. So that's what it's about. Because this whole process is God trying to bring the world back to him. And when he brings you back to him, his plan is then for you to go back and bring others. To be a living, breathing, public resolution and declaration of a changed life. To be proof that he is who he says he is. And it starts with the first step, being obedient. Participating in his symbol to the world that your life has changed by being baptized. And then it's growing a relationship with him. And that's what we talk about here. How to grow that relationship. How to read your Bible. How to spend time with him. How to serve. How to plug in with other people who are walking the walk you are. And then you point them back to him. That's the plan. That's how we make a public resolution. And that's how God is going to change the world. And that's what we're going to start talking about next week. How this works, what God wants from us, what we're asked, what we're expected to do, and what we can all anticipate. Because God wins, man. But as we're wrapping up today, it's real simple. I just want you guys to just kind of spend a moment thinking. Everybody has a connection card there. I just want you to ask yourselves one question. It's, you know, just be honest. I'm not going to, no bowing heads today, no raising your hands, but just an honest thought. Where do I stand today? You know, am I a Christ follower? Have I made the decision to follow Christ in my life or not? And if you haven't, I invite you to keep coming, keep checking us out, keep testing, keep dipping your toes in the water. Because you're going to experience the proof. You're going to experience the change. You're going to experience a reality that even though you still have questions, guess what, folks? I have questions. But I can't get past the proof. I can't get past the change that I know he's done in my life. And if you are a Christ follower today, then I'd ask you to evaluate this three-step plan. Where are you on it? If you've never done step one, there's no better time than the present. We're going to go right now into the fountain outside. I'm just kidding. It's very cold. But on your connection card, there's actually a box there that says, I'm interested in baptism. Complete this card and check that box. We'll contact you and we'll set up a time to do it. We have a hot tub and everything. It's hot. Don't worry. You won't get cold. But that it's an important step. It's a step of obedience. It's a step of saying, yes, God, I embrace your plan and your design for living this life as a public resolution of who you are. So I encourage you today, if you've never been baptized before, and you are a Christ follower, check that box. Let us know you're interested so that we can figure out the next time. We'll probably do them within about a month. And we do them right after the service. It's fun. We normally have some food. It's really great. It's a blast. So I encourage you to sign up for that and let us know. And then for those of you in the room who are Christ followers today and have been baptized, here's my challenge. It's very simple. Be light. Be light. Grow your relationship with God and allow others to see the change. Because that's the only way his message has spread for 2,000 years, and it's the only way it's going to keep spreading. Because it's his plan. It's his design. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you love us and that you include us in your plan, in your strategy to save a fallen world. We don't deserve it, but we are so grateful to get to participate with you. God, I just pray right now that you move on our hearts wherever we are on this path, that you push us a step further. For those who need to take the first step of baptism, Father, give them the guts to fill out that card today and say they're willing to do it so that we can keep on walking down this journey towards you. It's in your name we pray, Father. Amen.